I'm Samantha Rise, and welcome to Vagina Talks, where we speak about, to, and from vaginas. This is a show of alchemy, where we turn poison into medicine, disconnection into wisdom, and isolated wounds into communal peacemaking. Here's your host, Sophia Wise One.
You already know everything they could teach you. You already know everything they could say. We are here to remind you what you already know.
I just want to take a minute to acknowledge that Vagina Talks understands that gender is fluid and dynamic and goes way beyond the binary of either woman or man, she or him, and that in fact it's a living and evolving thing that's actually personal, person to person, and that our bodies, even our understanding or the ways that we experience them, can vary. It's important for me that that's something that has space here on Vagina Talks. And at the same time, I also am carrying this understanding that womanhood and the experience of the feminine and all of the female in the splitting of that binary has been injured, has been hurt, has been dismantled. And so I'm looking to have a space where the feminine and the female and the female body is reclaimed and respected and lifted and inspected and known, as well as a space that goes beyond the binary and that acknowledges that these are limited constructs mostly put upon us, and that we're in the process of evolving into something more whole and more true. Just wanted to say that some of my guests will use incredibly binary language for whatever reason from the places that they come from, and I just wanted to let you know that Vagina Talks has a much wider understanding, and it's a living one. So feel free to chime in as we go along. Without further ado, today's episode.
Hello, darlings, and welcome back to Vagina Talks. They call me Sophia Wise One, and I am so grateful to have you joining me today. We do have a guest joining us today who we're going to get to in just a moment that I'm excited about. I just want to take a moment and just honor the rapid shifts that have been going on, and that I know as, like, when this show drops, the moment you're listening to it, I know it's the right thing for you right now if you have seen fast change. You're seeing the changes that you've asked for, that you've prayed for, that you are knowing, that you're seeing the signs of them taking place. And so I just want to take a moment to bless you, bless your prayers, bless the change, and honor the fact that when we surrender into change, it's really a remarkable place because we really are giving up a lot of control. We don't know where we're going. So to really honor the faith part and to really celebrate the joy of I want to say the joy of faith, the joy of saying it's worth it, and we know it, and we want to do it. So that's that. We have a really special guest today. I'm really excited to see what's going to come through the two of us. She is bold, she's beautiful, and she's called Nia Lee. And she's on a mission.
She's called Natalie.
She's on a mission to create, and there's her laugh. And she's on a mission to create sacred space for women to reunite, heal, and empower one another to be all that they are and support a new feminine leadership in the world. Intuit. She empowers women through supporting the emergence of greater sensuality, purpose, creativity, and personal power. But hark, the sounds of womb work. She is international women's empowerment coach, a writer and artist, and guides both individual and collective process of women's empowerment. She is the founder of Boundless, a modality that clears the root causes of blockages. I'm like really on my womb tip here. The root causes of blockages, and she leads international retreats and boundless trainings. Welcome, Nia.
Thank you, Sophia. Wonderful to be here.
I am curious for you. I'm like, obviously, I'm like really hitting this, like, I'm like really on the womb tip with you right now. Mm-hmm. That's like, I'm really feeling that. So I think the question I want to start with is actually an invitation to hear what your womb is holding, is brewing, wants to share right now, is at work in, has clarity in. I don't know. I want to like speak directly to your womb and invite that wisdom, that connection that I know you have and that you walk with to bring us in.
Mm. Thank you. What a beautiful invitation. So I'm a huge supporter and advocate of this work. And I think the first thing that I feel from her, the first thing that comes is that true alliance with the planet and with what is unfolding here. And how we are really a part of the same team, that there is a womb of the planet, and that whether or not we have a physical womb or not, if, you know, we basically all have access to that wisdom, you know, that knowledge and that greater plan and purpose that we are all here to be a part of. And that's ultimately what I'm in service to, and really help other women to connect in with, to receive that guidance so that they can live their lives in that beautiful, synchronistic, magical, boundless, juicy place.
So beautiful, so sane. That's the word that comes to mind to me. Thank you for sharing from that womb place. And as you speak to that, it's what I'm noticing in my own body, in the space here, is the way in which my heart, it's not even my heart, the way that my core relaxes. And it gives, and like my lungs and my core, like give space for my heart to open.
Beautiful.
Like that place of like, I also hear the last, it was a couple moon cycles ago, a couple moon lodges ago. I was really taken into some old patterns that I hadn't seen in about 10 years. And I was, pretty startled. It was like a rough kind of moment of just being like, whoa, okay, it's been a minute since it's been like this, some really intense waves. And so I just kind of like double, triple, quadrupled down. I got my moon early and was so grateful. I was like, I need you. I need your help. And I just went deep. I went really deep for about 3 days of ceremony. And one of the journeys that I did in my practice, I went to my kind of the, just going to fill people. I feel like you're going to be with me, but I'm going to fill people in just a little bit here. So one of the journey spaces that I go to is like a sacred space, a safe, sacred space, like my altar practice space that I go to, and then often journey from that place in other directions. So kind of my psychic journey place to arrive to. And so I went to that place, and, the realms kind of opened, and I journeyed out kind of past time, space, and out into the nothingness, and kind of felt the relief of that space. Like, what a relief, what a peaceful, sane, nothing space. And then I journeyed back and journeyed down deep to the core of the earth. And I had this understanding, this expectation that I was going to go to this molten stone core. Because, right, that's like where I was going. But I journeyed down, and it was like when I saw the core of the earth, right, kind of right up ahead, the heart of the earth kind of, it was like she revealed her face to me. It was like this side path, and she said, I'm going to show you the heart of me. And as I went into the heart, it was water. and she revealed to me, you live on a water planet. which is something that I've been saying pretty consistently for like months and months and months. It was one of those things where she was like, I'm going to show you this because you already know it. I'm just going to show you now even more. And it was a deeply transformative revelation for me because I understood in that moment. I didn't understand. I knew it would take probably years for me to fully understand what I was being shown in that vision. What I began to see was the way in which I have been taught. I think a lot of us have been taught about what earth is, and earth being this like dirt and rock and solid state, right? That like earth is this like solid grounded state. And this reveal of her saying like, this is a water planet. That dirt you're talking about, that's water. Your body that you're talking about, that's mostly water. Like the stones that you're talking about are grown largely by water. Like the minerals that they're made out of, how do they get there? They're carried by water. Like the bones of the earth when they're alive are water. The bones of our bodies are not dry. The marrow, like it's the liquid form of us. And so I really had these waves of letting the very foundations of perceived earth walking change. Like, whoa. And it makes one of my favorite things to think about is one of my teachers, the holistic pelvic care provider, the person who taught me intravaginal body work, when her book was translated into Chinese, they came back to her and they said, they called, I don't remember the exact title, but it was a reference to the fact that they make reference to women or people who have wombs having two hearts. And so the heart of the heart and the heart of the womb, and these like two hearts. And so having the sense of going to the heart of the earth and seeing that the heart of the earth was water, and then having this like double overlay being like the heart of the earth being our heart, which is muscle, which is mostly water, that's pumping fluids, that the heart of the earth is pumping fluids, right? And so the heart of the earth and also the womb, like the birth waters, just like water, 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 water. And the solidity that we take the tiniest bit of form and what water does with that, what liquid does with that. So
amazing. Amazing. Thank you for sharing. I think we trained with the same person. I'm pretty sure if you're talking about Tammy Kent.
Tammy Kent!
Yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
Wonderful. Thank you for sharing that. It's an amazing revelation, and I'm really going to sit with that in my heart, and it's really parallel to information I received as well. So beautiful. Yeah.
I felt like, and I didn't say it out loud to anybody for weeks, like none of my students, none of my clients, none of my like medicine friends. I just like sat with it. And then it was like, I told one person, and then I told two people, and then a couple of weeks I told one person. It's like this slow, you know, like I'm just being like, when do I give words to it? Yeah. So thank you. And then like, here we are. And I felt that. I felt when you spoke, I felt that face of the planet kind of showing themselves to the way that revealed in me. I felt that's what came up while you were speaking from your womb was that knowing. So thank you.
Thank you.
Do you do internal work as part of your work currently? Are you doing body work inside vagina work?
I'm stepping. Do you go inside? I basically worked energetically with the lower chakras for a very long time, and going to Tammy Kent's. And I've also worked with people in the physical, more shamanically, but also including touch in general. But I definitely have a specialty in the lower chakras, as that's where our root is, and most of our wounding has really been. So Tammy Kent's training for me was a way to expand that knowledge and really bring it even more into form.
Yeah.
It will be a part of my work. But I'm taking my time with that. If I feel called to offer it, I will. And I'm just really following spirit with that.
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. I'm in a really interesting place right now for me. I've been doing a lot of it's been really core. After I learned it, I did a lot of like clinics, my own practice with like peers and my own self and my own work around that. And then I've done largely intensive work, one-on-one with people inside ceremony. So days of work together and the internal work only being a few hours in the midst of kind of these many, many hours. And I'm in this very interesting shifting point right now of, which I would be curious to see, I don't know, just where you are for yourself. I've been doing body work and healing work and holding space work largely solo. I don't really believe myself when I say that, but I've been doing it as an individual practitioner in addition to kind of doing co-facilitation or co-teaching with other people. I've been in that solo practitioning work for 15 years and professionally. And in the past couple of years, I've been doing a lot more of ceremony and body work with hands-on, with multiple people hands-on. So having like multiple hands on a body at one point, at one time. And I'm at this very interesting point right now where I am feeling less and less available or interested in working on someone's body without having more hands in a room. Like really having this experience of being very precise in my work and very direct and kind of going in on the wounds, like really, and like a lot of my spiritual tools, my first four spiritual tools were all literal blades. So like, it's funny that I would say literal when I mean like metaphysical, but like swords, hatchets, knives. I remember when I was a teenager doing journey work, and then in my 20s, I was like, when do I get like bells and flutes? You know what I mean? Like, it's just like so extreme. And I feel like I'm getting more and more, not even, I feel like I am getting more and more precise and potent in that. And so there's a way in which someone to care for the tenderness of someone, you know, I did a lot. I think a lot, I'd be curious to hear you speak about the wounding work, because there's a part of going in and exposure and cutting to the truth. And it takes a fierceness to do wound work with people, to go into the root and do the wound work there. But it also takes this massive tenderness
exactly.
for the softness and the care. And there are ways in which recently I've really been feeling my fierceness and my ability to go back and forth and hold both has felt a little exhausting. And so the experience, and I think also just because I felt it, having these past couple of years of being able to do work where I literally could have someone hold their head and hold their feet and someone hold their hand while I was doing internal work, while they're confronting years of abuse, while they're confronting the lies that they're digesting inside them, has been so transformative and relieving. And I think maybe this is also why it's coming up. You're like invocation of just being like, let's talk about the things that are sane, like sanity, you know, and this notion of like being held. And I think breaking some of these notions around that the work needs to be done in secrecy, that are shaming and that are wounding, that being safe means secret for a lot of people, and what it is to be safe in witnessing. So I don't know what that's. I'm curious if you want to speak to any of those things that you kind of know and experience in your work and you're seeing around. On any of those things.
Sure. Well, I really trust your experience in your own process around how you want to facilitate. I think the thing that came through for me was sort of that combination, that balance of fierceness and gentleness. And it just reminds me of the water, where water can be warm and really hold you, or it can be ice, you know, or it can be a hurricane. you know, it can be deep and rich and vast, or it can be shallow. And so it has the ability to acclimate. And I actually just put a post on social media today that I use, you know, boundless modality, which is a very clear, structured method of healing, which can basically heal just about anything. And at the same time, it's in balance with this feminine shaman. And that, you know, we dance and we just listen moment to moment with, to what is needed. What is that medicine? And it's not something that can necessarily be planned. It reveals itself as the feminine, the essence of nature does. So that's what it reminds me of when you share that.
Beautiful. Will you tell us more about Boundless, either the work itself or how you got there?
Sure. How I got there is a little bit longer. I can share it briefly.
I bet it's a good medicine story. Whatever you want to share, we're here. So.
Sure. Well, I'll first share that it's a prayer come true. It's something that I prayed for very, very strongly for a really long time. I had blocked out most of my life. I had a very challenging life for different reasons and had a lot of difficulties I was dealing with physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and all of that. And so really in my early 20s, actually I was a certified therapeutic life coach at the age of 21, and was certified in hypnosis and things like that, and was going very deep on my own journey and just felt that there has to be a better way. There has to be a better way for me, to identify more quickly and more strategically and efficiently, you know, what are these deeper layers? What are the traumas that are causing me to cry and sob every day? You know, what is it that is keeping me up at night and I can't sleep? What is it that I'm digesting in my belly? And these other methods just, they were the tip of the iceberg for me.
Yeah.
And so I just kept praying, please show me, you know, if I'm actually meant to be a healer, you better give me like the best tools out there. It took me a few years of doing just my own work to really find what was inside of me. And then after that, I was led to Hawaii on Kauai, and I got hired as actually an editor to a book, and ended up being sort of a content creator for this book that this man was wanting to publish. So this person basically sold a multi-million dollar company. He was an engineer mind, software company. And he built his dream house in Hawaii, very sort of traditional conservative guy. And you know, he basically fulfilled this American dream. And he still was not happy. Yeah. And so he basically, you know, his sort of science mind decided to study all of the leading energy psychology methods out there. And he not just found the ones, but he tested each one on his own subconscious to see what was actually making a shift. Because you can go get a healing session and have no idea what actually shifted within your own system. So what he would do is actually test everything, came up with the two that were the most effective, and just wanted to put these techniques in a book. So I, you know, through working with him, realized that, holy shit, these are actually really potent. And we started to work together to actually co-develop them even further, take them to the next level and use them in areas that their original founders weren't using them. So just one tiny example of that is, instead of, imprinting a one belief, we could actually imprint one belief by unhooking and clearing all negative beliefs that conflicted with it. So we would test people at the beginning, and after one clearing, they could get rid of like 100 beliefs while imprinting that one, versus just imprinting one positive belief while they have about 200 negative beliefs that conflict it. Him and I ended up finishing the book and going our separate ways. And I ended up working basically in the field of women, taking this structured method and helping women to find the exact blocks that were preventing them from being their full selves in the world, whether it was finding their true partner, offering their soul gifts, trusting their innate wisdom and guidance, being embodied here on the planet in the body. And it's just been years of that now, of using that method to work with women all over the world. So I'm very well acquainted with the collective feminine wounds. But like I said, it is in balance with the shamana. I don't always rely on a structured method. It is teachable and it is reliable. But spirit also, it's a method to let spirit do its work, essentially. Yes. And that may look different in each moment, if that makes sense.
Yeah, certainly. Yeah, in that regard, it feels very similar to the work that I do that I refer to as soul unification, which is this, like, you know, it's like we do these things and then it's really a setup to let spirit do the work, the miracle. I think one of the things that I talk about is that that I think about a lot, actually, is that we think, like, we've been so taught that healing is such a mystical thing. Transforming growth is so, like, mystical. And it is, right? Like the miracle and the magic of a flower blooming and inception and all the things that are just, like, miraculous. And yet the parts of, like, how actually, like, once you understand it, like you're talking about being like, I'm acquainted, right? It's like acquainted with the alchemical process, acquainted with that notion of, like, yeah, you put a new belief in, but you to have that take root, you have to surrender all these other ones. Or walking with people over years, you know, there's this way in which I've watched over the years, you know, when someone hits, like, around year three, you know, of this, like, deep work and kind of the questions that they're asking and the feelings that they're feeling, I'm just like, yeah, you're right on time. That's like there you are. Like, there is this rhythm, or, like, right on time, but also right in sequence, right? That, like, time space is very bendy, but there's an element and there's a way. There's, like, right on time in terms of this kind of natural earth rhythm that happens in terms of evolution and time. But then also that, like, we just do these things. Like, what is it, like, that when we surrender, then follow, you know, that, and it's not linear and yet there's rhythmic. I feel like rhythmic is a better way for me to describe what I feel or what I witness, more than linear, because there's, it happens in this, like, inhale, exhale, waved, tide, like, sense. So I appreciate that, and that there are, like, all the structures that are so useful and so effective. I'm, like, really into tools, like tools and skill building, so that the mystery can have the space that it needs to work, the vibrations, the space. It's like a really good speaker. Like, I'm obsessed with bassy music, and, like, the difference between a speaker that's, like, tinny and a speaker that, like, really can move the bass. And so it's like, how do I build, right, like, the equipment, like the structure, to let the vibrations move in the way that they want, so that I'm not blowing out the system.
Totally. I know what you mean.
I know what you mean. What are some of your joys right now? What's lighting you up in your own walk and your own journey right now?
Honestly, the first one that comes up is the evolution of the work. I'll share, you know, there's many beautiful personal things, like the spring sunshine is really good medicine right now, and my partner and my sisters, but the work itself and how it teaches me, how it, you know, when you're a servant to it, it's pretty profound. And I get to witness a lot from my clients and learn a lot from them. Like, they stretch my toolbox. My toolbox stretches to meet whatever's coming through them. And I also get to witness what comes through them, you know, as a space holder for the wisdom that comes through them. So, you know, a woman can come and she can have a lot of self-doubt and feel really stuck and maybe even have a lot of fear or feel paralyzed, or maybe she even has a lot of darkness around her because she's let, you know, certain things into her life. And the beautiful thing is to hold that space to clear everything that's not true and to really listen to what is. I get to hear the womb wisdom of women all over the world and of their higher guidance, and it's just the most nourishing thing to be around and to hear, and it is medicine for me. You know, we are medicine for each other, and I like that it doesn't feel like you know, practitioner client. It's really a sisterhood remembering and walking each other home. So, yeah, I'm just really profoundly grateful. It's been a really long journey getting here, mm-hmm. and I'm really grateful to have that in my life.
Yeah.
There's such a deep remembering taking place right now around what feels like to me is a birthright to intimacy and a birthright to wisdom, such this reclaiming of what we know. One of the things I'm thinking about as I say this is that notion of, I was having this conversation with someone recently where I was like, you know, I was like, well, why do you want to say no? And the answer was like, well, I just have this feeling that I want to say no. And then they said all these other reasons. And I was like, you know, the feeling and the clarity of your no without any justification is like its own justified real answer. Like trusting that, that knowing, and that, you know, that could be a no, that could be a yes, that could be a make a left turn, not a right turn. But that principle of giving up the justification as validity, right? To like, if we can have our reasons and our larger perspective, not to make any of that stuff a problem, but to let the validity of our knowing be valid in and of itself.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. I like that because the reasoning a lot of times can come from the mind, or the, you know, the strategy or the planning or, you know, just the thought out process where a lot of times in knowing it just is, it just is.
Right.
Just I love that.
Simple place. And that the more I think that we do the work of healing ourselves, the more we get that information. And so then it's, and this is kind of what I was talking about. It's like, and then once you get, you know, we wish we had that information and then we get that information. And then there's a cultivation of a changing of habits or a way of moving so that you act on that information.
Yeah.
it's different.
Exactly. Right?
It's like how many
can be a process sometimes, but it's amazing when it's not no longer a process and it just is.
Right. Just a way of being, you know, like a shifted habit way of being is, I think that might be my joy right now is seeing myself make those choices just more and more consistently of having that clarity, having that insight, and then acting on it and giving up that, the in between and I refer to it as warmongering, right? With like that, the writing and the wronging and the judging and the justification and the negotiating with what's true.
Right.
What do you see, as like a collective wound or a collective balm that's like awaken at work right now? What are you seeing? What do you, I know themes, right? Like it's like you're doing the work, so you're seeing the shared, the shared work at hand. What are you seeing?
Yeah, there's a lot of themes. I would say if there's one prominent one I would speak to, I'm just going to listen, actually, because there's a few. So one moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say it's shame. Shame is such it's such a weaselly one that sort of like hides under the rug and people don't even know they have it. Actually, I'll refer to one client. It's so cute because one of my clients, you know, people have breakthroughs, like each session is its own breakthrough. But then a lot of times there's this like massive breakthrough where like all the work culminates and like nothing is the same after, you know, like they just start, like everything changes. And this one client, you know, it came through that there was some ancestral shame, you know, that needed to be cleared. That was sort of at the root of everything. She's like, oh no, I don't have that at all. And just like, she had no idea. And after, you know, after a few sessions later, she's like, what is it? What am I missing? And I was like, honey, you don't let us work on the shame. Like, can we go into that today? So she said, okay. So we go into that, and she had the biggest breakthrough of her life after. And so the shame, you know, and we're seeing that this with the Me Too movement, it's like we held it in. We held it in for a long time. The violation, the suppression, the anger, the grief, you know, all of that we held in. And there's shame associated with the menstrual cycle, shame associated with being a woman. You know, there's religious shaming around that, shame around sex being dirty, shame around, you know, being beautiful or shining, or shame around not being beautiful or shining, you know. And so I just love that this is what we're dispelling, because shame is really what keeps us locked inside. And then it's connected to many other things. But I feel that the medicine, like Tammy says, is that, you know, the opposite is honor, really honoring ourselves, our femininity, our womanhood, our wisdom, our spirit, our bodies, you know, our gifts, our sex, you know, our sacredness, our connection to the earth. It's like just sprinkling every corner of ourselves with honor. And then, you know, sometimes it looks different in session, of course, as far as what's needed. A lot of times in order to fully release shame, we're actually releasing other people's energy, because shame isn't inherently natural. You know, it's something that we've taken on as if it was true from outside sources for the most part. So a lot of it's just like release. A lot of the womb healing is releasing energy that is not ours, because we receive and absorb so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's so, so beautifully said. Shame is, I really agree and share that experience as being a, you know, there are many, many pieces, and I appreciate you naming that. I'm just going to do a little smoke cleanse here. And, you know, one of my teachers, Shinasi Rose, what she says about shame is shame cannot be processed. It can only be lifted. And it's lifted by community. It's witnessed by witnessing. And that community can be spirit, can be plant, can be animal, can be human. I like to say humane, right? And that one of the things that I speak to is like, but it's got to be real. You got to feel exposed. You got to feel witnessed in it. If you don't believe a plant can witness you, then that's probably not the witness. But that piece. And what I love about what you're speaking to, that experience of other people's and even beyond people, right? This like people perpetuate this lie landscape that we're trash, right? This like lie, this, you know, that we're some inherently not sacred, that we have to earn our holiness or our trueness or our worthiness, you know, and all the ways in which, that's what that is. When I, you know, what I say about shame is that it's a blanket that covers the wound. Mm-hmm. And so it's so, again, I really appreciate what you're saying. It's the blanket that covers the wound. And so we take that blanket off, and then we have access to the wound. So mm-hmm. we can't get to the wound mm-hmm. with the shame is literally exactly what you're saying. It's literally, mm-hmm. it's blocking that. And so I think for a lot of people, especially people who have done a lot of work, and having that wall of being like, I can't get there. I can't get there. I can't get there. It's like, yeah, you literally can't get there. Like it is the story. It's the shroud. It's the hiding. It's the lock mm-hmm. it away. And so there's often a shame piece, that I experience that is, linked to a pleasure. Even if that pleasure is inside something that's like horrific or damaging. Mm-hmm. And there's no hard lines in this, but there's just like often an element in that. Mm-hmm. you know, a wanting or a getting of something that we wanted or, mm-hmm. yeah. Right. That like, that there's like a grief, but that we're not supposed to, as well as shames around things that are like, you know, nobody should know because they'd think I was fill in the blank, or I can't admit to myself. I mean, you spoke really kind of, I think, gently and respectfully to your own, like, nope, right? Like the levels of consciousness of being that are just like, no, I'm not gonna know that or remember that, that deep wisdom and care that we offer ourselves by blocking things out until we have the skills to, you know, skills, support, opportunity or space to really heal in that way. And so to uncover so that we can have access to do whatever needs to be done, right? Sometimes it's an excavation and it's infected underneath there. And sometimes it's just, you know, just, it's just there and needs something different. Sometimes it needs to be celebrated. So often in our sex, right? It's like, we're so ashamed. And then we uncover it and it's something that's really beautiful. As well as some things we uncover something and say like, wow, this is really toxic that kept secret. Mm-hmm. You get to make different decisions around and give up a sense of guilt or responsibility.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can be both. Yeah, and I appreciate what you said around the sharing because that's exactly it. When the shame is that hiding, and so that's what's so beautiful about the Me Too movement is people are able to share their stories and make, you know, bring it out into the light and have it be witnessed. And I wrote an ebook a few years back, and it was like 11 steps to heal from sexual trauma. And I think like the second or third step was like to share your story, just because that is, it's such a powerful way to dispel it and not keep that lie going on inside. But you're right, many times it's linked to deeper things like traumas, and it can be covering up the dark or the light.
Beautiful. So good. I feel like, what else do you know? Bless us, Naya. What else do you know? What else are you carrying in there? What else do you want to share with the people today?
I think something that I like to remind women is if it's hard, you know, to not be hard on yourself. That the nature of what we have stepped into and the loads that we have carried and that we're now finally remembering how to lay down, it's massive. You know, I get to see. So, for example, a woman can be procrastinating with her work. She might be overeating or overweight. She might be in toxic partnerships, you know. She might just feel small, lost, or have self-doubt. Whatever it is, you can be really hard on yourself and think, you know, low things of yourself, but I get to see what's actually behind all of that. I get to go in and see what created that. And it is vast. It is vast and profound what we have stepped into on this planet at this time and what we are healing for our lineages and what we've carried as souls beyond this lifetime is profound. And so just by being here, just by awakening, just by doing your best to make better choices, just by loving, by supporting others, like these are miracles. And I just like to remind women that they're doing a phenomenal job. And that you don't have to do it alone. And whether or not it looks like people are doing amazing on social media or not, you know, I myself and I'm surrounded by, you know, successful entrepreneurs that share a lot on social media. And I have seen quite commonly, you know, what's going on in the background in order to show up that strongly. And it is not easy. It is not easy. And I do my best to be authentic as much as I can, but also some things are vulnerable and private too. So don't believe that everyone has an easy ride and that you should have an easy ride too. This is a very intense time on the planet. And Yeah, to just the more that you can tap into what you were speaking of as that peaceful, boundless space, that is the womb space, that is the inner knowing, that is that timelessness that is beyond, you know, the conditioning or the distractions or the wounds. You know, there is that knowing and that stillness, and to go there as often as possible, because the rest of it can be quite overwhelming at times.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. It's so beautiful. Yeah. Hard on ourselves when it gets hard. I have a really good friend of mine likes to say, it really stuck with me. She said it once and I like never forgot it. She's say, Sophia, don't compare your insides to other people's outsides.
Oh, that's a great correlation. I love that. That's a good one.
And I was just like, real talk, you know, like, fuck, just like put me right in my place. You know what I mean? Of just being like, yeah, mm-hmm. That's not where that is. That doesn't hold up. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a reasonable, like it really stuck out. So, yeah. And that, you know, when it gets hard to not be hard on ourselves, that really, that's good to be, to be well, mm-hmm. to be well. Well, I have two closing questions. My second to last question is, how do you like people to connect with you? Where do you want people to find you, to be with you? How do you like people to connect with you? Where do you like people to connect with you?
Cool question. As I said, I'm on social media. So I use my personal page, Naya Lee, and also on Instagram, naya.lee. And then I have two websites. My main one is nayalee.com. So I get messages from there. You can apply to be in a mentorship or for the Boundless training on the Boundless Modality site. So those are two places you can just learn more about what I offer. And then the social media, you know, just to stay in touch and have some more frequent inspiration. So,
beautiful. Yeah. Thanks. Mm-hmm. 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 So my last question is, it comes with a presumption. So I'll clear up that presumption before I ask the question, which is that I believe that we are building, that we're weaving, right? We're birthing. It's not a metaphor, that we're birthing a new paradigm, birthing a new planet, new mm-hmm. reality, shared consciousness. You're with me?
Yes.
Okay. Great. Okay. So great. Yeah, that's the, okay, great. Okay. So we're here. So the question is, you know, sometimes I think of the quote, if you don't know where you're headed, you'll end up where you're going. And so this notion of like, where are we headed? Where are we going? Like, where do we want to go? Paint a picture. What does it look like? What does it feel like? What does it sound like? What is this? You spoke to it. Both of us have spoken to it. You've already spoken to it. And so the invitation is to, again, like drop into that space and do some weaving with us around what are we weaving? What's a thread that you're weaving? What's a thread that you hear being woven? Bring us in.
Great question. And I just have so many answers to that. I'll have to tune in and see what wants to come through. I think first I'll say that it feels like a balance between that fiery, creative birthing energy and also that balance of a bit of surrender and divine timing too. So I like to bring that in because it's clear that we are building something new, and it's clear that the collective sometimes has its own timing. So many elements, many elements. You know, I think that the journey begins with the individual, which is a lot of what we're talking about, which is the shadow work, so that when we are showing up, whether it's in new community or we're building new paradigms or we're offering massive amounts of work or, you know, we're making millions of dollars and reallocating massive amounts of wealth to conscious efforts, that we're doing it in a really clear way, that we're not playing out old shadows, which we've actually seen. You know, I had a time in my life where I was less cultivating all my internal works and more researching other people's works and kind of seeing where I can, you know, click in or, things I could support. And the more that I got closer and closer and closer and closer to a lot of the people that were like leading the way, in a sense, or starting big companies or whatnot, they had massive unintegrated shadows. There was actually like a lot of abuse and manipulation going on, even in the most well-represented, you know, conscious, you know, organizations that are being put on high pedestals. They're still being operated in very patriarchal way. So I spent about a day basically crying my eyes out going, we're doomed, until, you know, my higher self basically like kind of, I use life kind of like smacking me over my head, but like in a sweet way going, it's you.
Yeah.
Like it is us. Like we don't look outside of yourself to find proof that this is being created. And I have chills all over my body right now. It is being created through us. So we are the ones that are shedding that paradigm as to no longer carry those sources. We are burning new ones and handing them down. So that looks different for each person because we all have unique gifts, of course, but everything's going to be reformed. Absolutely everything, whether it's economic, political, you know, the healing, medicine sectors, you know, whether it's everything, personal development, business is being reformed. I mean, it's happening before our very eyes. People are demanding to do things their own way. And I'll even speak specifically to women in the feminine essence that we are no longer allowing, and I use this is a huge thing that we have to release in sessions is, I'm not allowed or I don't have permission. And that's a lie. The only time that that's ever true is when we're children dependent on our parents for survival. As adults, we have a birthright to follow our own guidance in every moment. So we can, there are no
every lies. Moment. Say it again. Every moment.
Yes.
Ugh.
Every moment.
Yes.
In all moments. Yes. Throughout all space and time. So,
yes.
I want to really support people to dream into their own version because my version of New Earth could look totally different from your version, right? In your town, with your specific group of friends, with your specific gifts. But I do know there's going to be a lot more love and that everything is going to be done in a more heart-centered way that is really in alignment with a greater pulse of the planet, not in, not in a warring sort of destructive, control-oriented, manipulative way. It's really about coming together to co-create something really ultimately beautiful that serves a greater good of all of the planet.
Yes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Naya, I want to thank you for your deep listening today. I really appreciate that my invitation for you to show up and the way you just did, just like it's the way that you, and I know it's not just today, the way that you walk and the way that you have walked and the work that you do and you're taking in and sharing with us your wisdom and your knowing. I feel really blessed and appreciate that the resonance, like the impact, there's like a patience or a quietness to your, like the listening, this way that you like drop and then what gives forth. And it's a real potency in that. So I want to thank you. Thank you for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for inviting me and for sharing your wisdom and for listening as well.
You're welcome. darling listener, wherever you may be, love you. I treasure you. I honor your walk, your path, your body's wisdom, your soul's song. I invite you to, as I spoke to the potency of our time here, to choose right now something that you'll do to take care of yourself today after this call, to take an invitation to let
something in you that has been touched or awakened, healed, or remembered, some point of care, some point of contact, so you can really move where you are into where you're going, where you'll be. So be blessed and be well. Lots of love.
Lots of love.
Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you so much. And thank you, Sam.
Thank you, Sophia.
Remember, everything that we talked about in today's episodes will be in the show notes. So go there for links.
For more content that you're going to love, subscribe to this podcast. Share this episode with anybody you think you'll enjoy it, and share the love with a rate or review wherever you listen.
And to find out about all the mad adventures I'm up to, check me out on Instagram at SophiaWiseOne, or come to my website, SophiaWiseOne.com.
Oh, you can subscribe to this mailing list by texting VTOX to 66866.
I am Sophia WiseOne, daughter of the wind. I am calling you to rise up, rise up, rise up, rise up and take your place.
Y'all know you need to hear that though. You know. If you don't know, now you know.
If you don't know.
Okay. Y'all, I'm so excited about Vagina Talks right now. Don't pretend like you don't know this is the best podcast you've ever listened to. Don't pretend like you don't know. You know.